Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
Need to know brought to you by our friends at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get your Joe's right now. You can get it with the app. That's the easiest way. Or go to joeskc.com. Send the wonderful Joe's Kansas City Barbecue anywhere in the country. And if you're going to be doing some grilling out, sauces, rubs, the fuel, the grill itself, the utensils, the know-how, it's all at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. You can find them online at thekansascitybbqstore.com. The best in the business. That's Joe's, whether it's helping you out to make you the ultimate griller, smoker, if you want, or just grabbing that great barbecue from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue on your way home. Might I recommend the Rocket Pig Sandwich? Absolutely fantastic. One of the hidden gems on the menu, the chili. It is wonderful. Check it out at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. All kinds of great favorites there at Joe's. All right, let's start with a little sound from the Kansas City Chiefs today. Steve Spagnuolo asked about the task of stopping the Browns running game, says they have the same plan for both Chubb and Hunt.
Typically, you can say when you got two running backs that you're facing, you can say, okay, when 24 is in there, here are some things that they run. You know, when 27 is in there, they run their whole offense with both of them. That's where they're really effective. So you can't get a beat on that. We've got to defend the scheme. What makes it challenging, their run scheme to me, what makes it challenging is the fact that Baker Mayfield, you know, their misdirection runs are really him running boots and movement passes. And that's where our eyes got to be right. That's where we got to build the wall, track the hip, and set the edge, just like we talk about. But they present a problem, no question.
Yeah, the Chiefs, to me, take away the passing game, though. You don't allow them to get a big play. They're going to get you. They're going to get you for five. Kareem Hunt's too good. He's going to get you for five. He's going to get you for a 12. You got to stay away from them getting you for 50, right? Don't let the big plays happen. And eventually you'll get them stopped in the backfield. They'll have to throw and then let that pass defense, which is very, very good, do its job and get the Browns off the field. That, to me, is going to be one of the big keys. And, of course, it's the return of Kareem Hunt to the Chiefs. Eric Bieniemy, his position coach, I think position coach, was OC for 1 year with him, was asked what he thinks about Kareem Hunt as a person and what it was like to lose him in the middle of that 18 season.
Well, first of all, Kareem is a beautiful kid. He is a beautiful spirit about himself, all right? And I know that you guys really don't get to see that side of him. I mean, he's a fun-loving family guy, and he's one of those kids that you just can't help but want great things to happen to and happen for. But as far as a player, a beast. Runs hard, plays hard, knows how to maximize every opportunity. Okay, you can see that when he's out on the field. He runs with an attitude and he runs with a determined mindset that he's going to find a way to make it across that line. And then, you know, obviously, you know, losing him, that was a different deal. And obviously he's been missed. But more than anything, I'm proud of the growth process that he's going through. I'm proud to see where he is. I'm proud to see him still pursuing his goals and all the accomplishments that he has made. And I mean, hell, he's like one of our own. And I know we'll be facing him this week, and that'll be a little different. But when it's all said and done with, I know he'll come out and do exactly what he wants to do. He's going to play hard and he's going to play fast, and he's going to be the best running back that he can possibly be for them.
A lot there.
There's a lot there. You know, it's clear that it was a very difficult decision. I think when people, you know, Chiefs made a terrible decision, they made the wrong decision. I don't think they made the wrong decision, by the way, in cutting him. I think there has to be a moral fiber to any business that's run, and I think even more so to a team business. You've got to set the tone with what will and will not be tolerated. Don't need to adjudicate that anymore, but I thought there was some irresponsible comments made by some about that time. The Chiefs did what they had to do, but it's very clear that that was not an easy thing for them to do. And it speaks to why this organization is a championship organization. They didn't go, well, we think Kareem's a really good guy. We think he's a good guy at heart. There are certain lines that cannot be crossed, right? And in this whole country could use a page of this. There are lines that cannot be crossed. And when they do, there have to be consequences. Okay, now you may be thinking I'm trying to pigeonhole that into one thing that's going on. I'm not. I'm just saying we have gotten to the point to where we justify bad behavior by villainizing others or pointing out other people's mistakes all across the board, both on the political landscape and everything. But you have to have, even if the country doesn't have it, as individuals, if we would all have an actual moral code, right? Lines that cannot be crossed, consequences for crossing those lines, and live by that, you will find that you will be more successful. The Kansas City Chiefs are living proof of it. It sucks. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of guys, a lot of media piggies out there that would never have cut Kareem Hunt because, wow, he's such a good football player. I need to win. And they don't, those people do not understand what it takes to win, to truly win, to truly win in competition, to truly win in life. There are some things that people just have to go for. It doesn't matter how talented they are. You have to set that tone for everybody else. Everybody else in your office, everybody else in your family, everybody else certainly in your team, in your organization. And the Kansas City Chiefs did that. And I don't know that they get to the Super Bowl in 19 without making that decision in 18. Because it set the tone. There are expectations. And if they are not met, there will be consequences. And it may not be a consequence that gets you cut from the team, but there will be consequences. And that's what that said. And I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl if they don't cut Kareem Hunt. Because if Kareem Hunt is kept around, there's more shenanigans, there's more problems, and he probably would have self-destructed, as he did in Cleveland, again in Kansas City. And then what would that have done to the discipline in your locker room? Well, Kareem Hunt's not getting cut. Nobody gets cut around here. Why do I have to, you know... How would the COVID protocol have gone? The Chiefs have been fantastic at the COVID protocol because there is an expectation of how people are supposed to act. And they have validated that they mean it when they say you got to act a certain way. And the Chiefs have been one of the best at it comes in battling the pandemic. If they win a championship this year, part of it is because of the code that exists. Now, I'm not here to say that the Chiefs don't, you know, take extra chances on guys that are talented. They do. Every team does. But there is a limit, there is a line that they will not cross. And I think that's part of what makes this team strong.
100%. Everything you said, I back.
Yeah.
You said it.
Eric Bieniemy, of course, interviewing for jobs. He was asked how the week of interviews went and what his biggest takeaway was from meeting with five different teams.
First of all, it was an honor and a privilege, but that's not what we're here for. All right. We're here to talk about the Cleveland Browns. And you've heard us talk about this before. We eliminate all distractions. OK, at the end of the day, my focus and attention is on the Cleveland Browns. This is a great team and they're playing some great ball. They got some young guys up front that are playing tremendous. They got some guys in the second level with those backers and they got a heck of a secondary group. One of those guys we're very familiar with. So we're looking forward to this challenge. I know our guys are fired up and excited. They're refreshed. They've hit the reset button. Now it's time to get out there and produce and show exactly what we're about.
He's just not going there, man.
Hey coach, no, but how about the interviews? Browns are really good.
Yeah, and listen, we had started the show, and so I couldn't be on. I would have asked that question, and I appreciate whoever did ask that question because it has to be asked. It has to be asked. The information has to be out there. Mike Freeman, and where's Mike right now? Where is he, a writer?
SI, was it? Who is he?
Is it? Let me see. Mike Freeman, Twitter. Mike Freeman, NFL. I'm blocked. Oh, okay.
USA Today.
How about that? I got blocked. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
Wow. All right. God, what was it? There was some problem there, wasn't there? What the hell happened? Anyway, I don't really care. I mean, all the best to him. Doesn't, you know. But he tweeted out, teams aren't going to say publicly, we don't want to hire a black coach. So instead, they invent the narrative of the black coaching candidate doesn't interview well. That got retweeted by Tyrann Mathieu. I'd love to play for a team driven by him. He's special and holds a presence like no other. He can truly bring out the best in guys. I'm inspired by that man. That's what Tyrann Mathieu said. And I think Mike Freeman has fair criticism there, right? This is the point I've been making, that if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job, there needs to be a public explanation. Otherwise, you're left with no other reason, no other conclusion to come to but this. Now, I will say this. It is possible to be a white guy or a black guy and not be good at interviews. And Eric Bieniemy was not good at handling interviews his first year as the offensive coordinator. He has gotten significantly better. I will bet you that he has interviewed significantly better with the teams, right? But just because, you know, somebody says he doesn't interview well doesn't mean it's because he's black. He might not interview well.
Yeah. And if you want to say that there shouldn't be a moral imperative on the NFL or teams individually who interviewed him and don't hire him to explain why, but at the very least, if you don't explain why, don't complain when people speculate as to the reasons.
Right.
Because you had an opportunity to clear it up and you didn't.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. You don't get to be all offended because somebody says, well, it's because he's black, it's not going to hire him. Well, you can't say that. Sure we can. There's no transparency on your end.
Yeah, then tell us why.
Absolutely, it can be said. Now, I think it's a bigger picture than that. I think it's possible to not interview. Well, I mean, we heard Tony Dungy, and I also think it's absolutely possible that not interviewing well is because you got a bunch of old white guys that are doing the interview, and any younger black guy, I didn't really feel comfortable with him. Maybe because you're a racist.
Yeah, comfortable is a word that. Is used a lot of different ways.
Maybe because you haven't sat for 2 hours with a black guy ever in your life. You know, that's a problem. So when you don't hear why, we're left only to speculate. We're left only to speculate. Tyrann Mathieu talked about Eric Bieniemy today. He was asked to elaborate on that tweet in which he said Eric Bieniemy brings out the best in players and inspires them.
I think all great players, you know, all good players, they want to be coached. They want to be coached hard, and they want to be coached the right way. And I think the last part of it, they want to be coached by somebody that they know, you know, will have their back. You know, and I think Coach Bieniemy really embodies that, you know, even as a defensive player, you know, to see him get on Tyreek and get on Kelsey and push those guys to the next level, even though those guys have reached, you know, great heights. I think that says a lot about him as a coach, as a motivator, you know, and like I said in my tweet, you know, I'm inspired by him. You know, me and him, you know, share some of the same background, you know, being from, you know, Louisiana, and, you know, we have some of the same, you know, friends in a sense. And so I always want the best for him, but, you know, he's definitely one of those guys I feel like definitely deserving.
You know, in Colorado, there are rumblings about other things that we haven't read, you know, having happened. Listen, all I know is what has been written about Eric Bieniemy. There's nothing. Does he have something that you need to look into his past if you're looking at him as a head coach? Absolutely he does. But there's not anything in there that I see that would preclude him from being hired by me, okay? And even if he doesn't come across as a great interview, this is where owners suck a lot of times, right? If he doesn't interview well for you, what does that mean? Like, I didn't click with him. Because, like, your job to interview him is to find out, can he lead men? Can he lead men that are in their 20s, are superhuman athletes, and come from a diverse set of backgrounds, but probably backgrounds that tend to be more economically challenged, than certainly your privileged old white ass. Okay, so he may not interview well for an old white guy. But if you're going to be a good owner, you got to understand, this doesn't have to be a guy that I invite over to the club to play bridge with, you snob. This is a guy who has to lead young men. And what they perceive as a bad interview may be actually the best interview anyone's ever given because he reaches guys like Tyrann Mathieu.
Every professional team, when they conduct an interview for a potential head coach, should have at least one person in the room they trust under the age of 30.
Yes.
It didn't matter who it is. Okay, Jeff, what did you think of that? Well, I hear you're saying, but you should have someone with that, with the perspective of the people he's going to be leading.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point. Yeah, part of your team cannot be made up of all old white guys. You know, some young people, probably some people of color would be nice, okay, to be in that room to find out, well, what did you think? I thought he was great. Like, I want to go hit somebody right now. Like, I want to play for the guy. Across the board, they all love him. And if you can't see that, and if he comes with the endorsement of Andy Reid, I will not guarantee that Eric Bieniemy will be a great head coach. I don't know. In fact, the math says he probably won't be. But the math says that on everybody, white or black, running back, quarterback, whatever they've played or coached, the math says that you're probably going to be fired and probably going to end up not being one of the great coaches. But he is ready. He is ready to get the job. And if this many people on a championship team sign off on him, you know, what I would want to hear from him is, all right, give me your coaching staff. Who are you going to surround yourself with? I believe in your ability to motivate, right? I don't know how you can call plays. Are you going to call plays? What if the play calling is not going to go well? Will you give up the play calling? Who's going to be your OC, right? What do you think of my quarterback? What do we need at quarterback? Okay, because these are the answers that I need from you. Who's your staff? What are the people? Because I think you've got a lot of positive traits, but you're not going to do it by yourself. You're not Nick Saban turning and burning all the coaching staff. You're not Andy Reid, who's turned and burned his entire coaching staff numerous times over his career. I need to know that the staff is at least going to be right and you're going to get off to a good start. Those are the things that I would want to hear from Eric Bieniemy if I were an owner interviewing him. I think he's definitely ready. Going to be very disappointing if he doesn't get the job, and I will be thoroughly pissed if they don't explain why he didn't get the job. Let's take a break. George Sharruri from Pro Football Focus joins us to talk some more NFL football next here in the program.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we now present
The Program with Seren Petro, weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
WHB, Seren Petro with you, talking some NFL football this segment. George Sharruri from Pro Football Focus is with us. He's brought to you by Corona. Corona Light, Corona Premier, Corona Hard Seltzers. If you are looking to cut the calories in the new year, right, check out the Corona Hard Seltzers as they have 0 grams of sugar and 0 carbs. That's right, Corona Hard Seltzers, the latest, greatest, best way to enjoy responsibly an adult beverage without the waistline expanding. Mango, tropical lime, cherry, blackberry lime. You can get them wherever you get your beers. It's the Corona Hard Seltzers. George, welcome to our T-Mobile guest line. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, brother. Happy New Year. I'm not sure we've talked since the turning.
I don't think we have.
But I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. No complaints. Excited for the Chiefs to get back on the field. It was fun watching football last week, knowing my team's already advanced, but looking forward to them getting on the field. And I will just – my opinion of this game is the Chiefs are going to drop an atomic bomb right in the face of the Cleveland Browns. I'm curious if you agree.
You know, like, it's funny. We've had so many conversations over the course of this year, and I think we have both been aligned with that happening at some point of the season, during this season, multiple times. And, you know, one that comes to mind is the Dolphins, for example. You know, we both kind of thought, hey, like, they're getting killed for playing all these close games. Mahomes is healthy. The receivers are healthy. Kelsey's healthy. Like, it's about time, you know? And it's weird. The team has been dominant without having these dominant wins from a point-scoring perspective. But the way that they win is always impressive because a lot of teams, given those kind of starts to games, would be dead in the water, right? We saw it last week with the Cleveland Browns against the Steelers, right? Like, the Steelers, try as they might and try as the Browns might to give it back, you know, weren't able to come back from that deficit. If that same thing plays out in Kansas City on Sunday afternoon, I'll tell you this. They would have to be up 40 in the first quarter for me not to think Mahomes would come back. So I am nervous about the Browns coming out hot a little bit, but I think overall the Chiefs will expose the Browns defense and win easily, you know, and kind of cruise through, even though they might make some people nervous at the start.
I definitely think, listen, Vegas has seen the Chiefs mail in their last game and then play seven games within 6 points in a row. Right now, that was also 7 consecutive wins that came after 3 other wins for 10 consecutive wins. So the last 10 times they've tried, they've been successful. So I see no reason to believe that they won't win the game. The reason I land at the destruction part of it is, number one, they're due. That has no math basis behind it, but I think they are due. Number two, they're rested. Okay, and then Reed is brilliant with extra time. Number three, Reed's brilliant with extra time. And then number four, this just in, the Browns aren't that good. Like, you're not minus 11 point differential because you're this really good team. You don't lose to the Jets 3 weeks ago because you're this really good team. They're frankly not that good. The Steelers were as awful as they could be. And like you said, they were still a dunce decision by Mike Tomlin, who I love, but a dunce decision for Mike Tomlin to punt on 4th-and-1 at the 40 or 39 of the Browns. If he goes for it and gets it, right, I think the Steelers damn well probably win that game. And so what is there to fear with the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, look, I agree with it. I think that's something that probably isn't being talked about enough. Like, the Browns were thinking, and Browns fans were thinking heaven that Mike Tomlin punted there on that 4th-and-1 at his own 47. I mean, the behinds were puckering, let's put it that way. I think for anyone that had, you know, Cleveland, you know, money line, or even, you know, ATS, you know, if they got one of the earlier lines there. Let me say this, though. Let me play a little bit of devil's advocate, because that Jets game, you're right, was worrisome. However, it was a really weird game in that they didn't have any of their receivers. And we have learned a lot at PFF about the importance of receivers, you know, the most valuable position after quarterback in our war metrics are always receivers. Now, sometimes there are tight ends that show up there. Travis Kelce was the most valuable receiver last year. He just eclipsed George Kittle at the end of the season. So receiving is super important. So I kind of want to sweep that game under the rug a little bit. And I want to talk about the Browns offensively, because I do think that maybe we're underrating the high end of Baker Mayfield's play. The second half of the season, he has been a top five quarterback in PFF grade, basically since Odell Beckham Jr. went out. And he's not, it's not that he is top five from a, you know, just raw ability, and if you put him out there in any scheme, he would be top five. But this scheme is accentuating what he does well, and I don't think that the Chiefs are going to have that easy of a time disrupting it because of how good Stefanski is with the run game and the play action game. He's going to score some points, and I think that is the way that at least this game stays close a little bit. Ultimately, the Browns defense is even worse than the Chiefs defense. So, like, that's how this game ends up being a Chiefs win. I will be honest with you. I have bet the Browns plus 10. I think it's a sneaky game that, you know, could be close.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. It's good talking to you, George. I appreciate the time, man.
It goes against everything that I believe. You know this. Like, I always, yeah. I love betting on Mahomes and the high-octane offense. But I think the Browns offense is being underrated a little bit here.
I'm fine with that. I do think that he has Baker Mayfield is playing better, but the way I describe him is he's Alex Smith. All right, and Alex Smith does not take him down Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Right? And so there's a high end to it in Alex Smith game. Like, could Alex Smith beat Patrick Mahomes, you know, in his prime? Sure, he could. With a plus 3 in the turnover differential, with a lot of things going his way, but you're not going to win because of Alex Smith. You can win with Alex Smith. You're not going to win because of Baker Mayfield. You can win with him.
Okay,
but what about, I think, Tomlin? well, yes, yeah, that's a possibility. The issue I have is I don't think they're that good on defense, and I think that means the Chiefs are going to go up and down the field, and when they do, it will drag the Browns out of the run game. And then when it becomes all Baker Mayfield, they got big problems.
No, I agree with you there. I'll push back a little bit on the Alex Smith thing. Baker Mayfield had an average depth of target over 9 this past year, which Alex Smith would need another Alex Smith throwing a pass from where the first Alex Smith throws his first pass to get to 9 yards. If that made any sense to anyone.
But is that this year's Alex Smith? Or I'm talking about the Andy Reid Alex Smith.
Okay, last year of Andy Reid, he threw the ball downfield a little bit more, but I think that team, you know, with that Alex Smith throwing the ball downfield a little more, is covering against this team, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, that's a weird way to put it, but what Baker Mayfield, and you're right, if Baker Mayfield has to play from 20 points down, I do think it's a bit of a struggle if Stefanski gets out of the play action game, because that bootleg action, that stuff works so well. And math points to you being able to run it even when you're down, but teams just kind of get in their own head. But don't you think that the Browns offense, with the dominant offensive line, with both of those running backs, with some of the issues that the Chiefs have on defense, could get out to a fast start? and that would give them a chance to keep it close, ultimately losing in the end maybe by, you know, a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah, I think they can, right? Like, I can see that scenario. I don't think they can stay in touch with the Chiefs if it's even turnovers, right? Their defense has to take it away. And I don't see anything in their defense that says that they're going to take it away. In fact, you know, the yin and yang of things says that they probably won't get any just because of how it was raining turnovers on them last week. So you usually don't go plus five, plus four, plus five, you know, like even back-to-back. A plus five usually comes back with a minus two. Now, the picks are different than fumbles. Fumbles are really 50-50 balls that are out there, and so there was only one of those. And miraculously, James Conner fell down, and Ben Roethlisberger turned into Cam Newton and decided he wanted no part of the football on the first play of the game. But I that's not going to happen against this team, right? And history tells us if it does, that may be the worst thing. Like the Texans getting up 24-0, maybe it was the worst thing for him because it forced Andy Reid to unleash the full fury of the offense. And that's where I come back to, you know, if they have to go for it, when they get to the point, like I think Andy Reid's got the team that he should be going for on fourth down way more. But when he does get pushed into that scenario, they're even better. So, like, I just don't think they've got the defense to throw at him like what the Falcons did. Like, Patrick Mahomes wasn't very good against the Falcons. But that's a pretty damn good front seven. They have good linebackers, you know, Atkins in the middle. Garrett, you know where he is. I think you're better at stopping Mahomes if you're coming at him from the middle. That doesn't mean they can't stunt Garrett into the middle and those kind of things. But I also question how healthy the Browns' offensive line is after what was going on last week.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, I would also say, look, having Mitchell Schwartz would be a nice thing to have, you know, knowing that Miles Garrett will. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, that's the point. You know, it's like those little things, if Miles Garrett is healthy and they're moving him around, finding some advantages for him. Miles Garrett, when healthy, is a top three edge rusher in the NFL. You know, I think up there with T.J. Watt, up there with Khalil Mack. Now, he hasn't really been healthy, so that, you know, that's an interesting one. But I will be interested, Seren, to your point, if the Browns defense can get Andy Reid to do some things that he might not normally do. And what I mean by that is really try and force them to run the ball and say, look, we're going to let you get 5 yards of pop. We'll dare Le'Veon Bell to scamper all over us. But in turn, you're going to have to keep up with our run game, and it'll allow our offense to be, you know, kind of in the game a little bit more. That would be my worry. Now, I would say in a game where you have this much time to prep, maybe you feel like that's not the case. But if you give the Browns a chance to be themselves, since week seven, they're the seventh best offense in the NFL in expected points added per play. That, I think, would surprise some people, to be perfectly honest. And you are the first person, Seren, the first person other than Eric Eager or myself over the past 3 years to tell me that the Falcons have a good defense.
I didn't say they have a good defense. I said they have a pretty good front seven. The linebackers are active. I think I said Geno Atkins, not Geno Atkins. Grady Jarrett.
Grady Jarrett.
In the middle is one of the best. And he caused problems for them. I don't see that guy for Cleveland, and the secondary of Cleveland. Come on, like,
yeah,
you know, it would help us.
Denzel Ward is very good. You know, the Falcons' defensive backs are putrid. You know, so like, to me, there's the right, and I think that Richard Sherman was on, you know, his podcast he does every week with Chris Collinsworth, and he brought up some interesting points that, you know, maybe ultimately don't matter because the Chiefs are the Chiefs and, you know, they'll come out aggressive and hit on all cylinders. But Joe Woods, who was with the Niners last year, you know, in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, he was like, look, Joe Woods had a solid game plan. One person messed up once and it cost us in the game, but he will have a game plan that is going to be pretty solid. And I thought that was an interesting point, you know, having a scheme that puts players in a position to succeed is like that 12th defensive man. And that could be, you know, a little way for the Browns to kind of maybe stick in it a little longer than, you know, a normal team with this talent on defense.
Ward does help how healthy he is. You know, everybody, the virus seems to affect differently. Mm-hmm. So how much wind he's got, you know, how long, how far he can go into the game remains to be seen. So I grant you that that does help. But the rest of the secondary, come on. Like,
yes,
no.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah, we're talking to George Schururi right now from Pro Football Focus as we break down the weekend's playoff games. He's got the Browns plus the 10. I hate that. That upsets me. But I digress. Yeah. So tell me this: who as an individual, player, quarterback, coach, who's got? We were kicking this around. Who's got the most at stake in this playoff? So that's still. Are in the playoffs out of these teams, coaches, mostly it was quarterbacks and coaches that we were talking about. Who's got the most at stake? I always like to do that because to me, it's kind of a way of analyzing like what, where are we? What's the moment in history we're witnessing here? And, you know, do you have a guy or a couple of guys that you go, wow, this is big for him. And, yeah. You know, I can give you what I've got if you want an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, give me yours, and I don't want to repeat and go on some monologue where you've already – I like to be contrarian.
Okay.
So tell me who
okay.
yours are, because I've got a few in mind.
Yeah, stunning you want to be a contrarian. I'm shocked.
Yeah,
So I said it's Aaron Rodgers and it's Sean Payton, right, when I went down the quarterback road. We had other guys named it. Aaron Rodgers, to me, gets the nod a little bit over Drew Brees because Drew Brees – he never gets talked about, even though statistically he owns a lot of the records and is up there in all of them. He's never thought of as one of them. I think both those guys have a lot because being a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback is big. So those are the two names that I pushed to the top of the list. And I gave the nod to Rodgers because Rodgers is at least can see the discussion of the greatest quarterback of all time. Right? He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of Super Bowls. But he's at least considered maybe the best pure thrower of the football, best pure passer. There are things that you know, Rodgers, to me, can still achieve, but he needs to get a second Super Bowl on his resume. So I think and this might be his last best chance. He's got the one seed. He's playing at home. He's squandered this opportunity a number of times. He's right now kind of like steroided up Dan Marino. But he has a chance to move into the true – you know, multiple championship stage. I say it's Aaron Rodgers that has the most at stake in this one.
I like that a lot. So Aaron Rodgers is one of the guys that came to mind, but I'm going to go a little differently here. I'm actually going to say it's LaFleur for the Packers
okay.
because Aaron Rodgers is a legend no matter what. Matt LaFleur could be a legend if he wins with Aaron Rodgers. And if he doesn't, he might never win ever. And I think that we always talk about like, oh, you know, this team will be back. They've got so much talent. How great is their offense? You don't know what Rodgers is going to do. You don't know what this team is going to do. You don't know if Jordan Love is anything. Like, to me, LaFleur has the quarterback that is playing the best in the NFL over the course of the season. He has the best wide receiver in the NFL. He has our highest graded cornerback this year as well. Like, they have some defensive talent. Adrian Amos has played great. They have to win this game, and they're playing a defense that everyone is talking about. Everyone's talking about Brandon Staley, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. So I think Matt LaFleur has a lot on his plate, a lot at stake. And I think Tom Brady does too. Because, look, Drew Brees is our 20th ranked quarterback. I think Drew Brees has kind of, he's fallen off a bit.
Yep.
Tom Brady has not. Tom Brady is an underdog in Vegas, but Tom Brady is the better quarterback, and he needs to win this game. I think if he loses this game against Drew Brees, and Drew Brees and Sean Payton go 3-0 against him this season, with all the talent that Tampa Bay has, they're a relatively healthy team, that is a missed opportunity. I think they need to get to the championship game. And I'll give you one more sneaky one here, which is Josh Allen. And I don't think he necessarily has a ton to lose because he's so young. But that Ravens defense was one that he looked terrible against last year. One of his, maybe his worst game of the season. I don't remember if it was lowest grade or not. They're the favorite. He's playing lights out. he can cement himself going into next year as, you know, is he the guy trying to chase Mahomes with a win here? But he can very quickly say, oh, yeah, it's the same old Josh Allen if he has a bad game. Those are the ones that come to mind for me.
Yeah, I like those. We had some discussions about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen about being able to kind of elbow in front of each other, you know, for, mm-hmm. for top contender to Patrick Mahomes, that was it. And, you know, Jed brought up Tom Brady, and my first reaction was like, that's the dumbest thing you could ever say. The man's got 9 Super Bowls and 6 championships. What's at stake? But he said kind of similar to you, like where you said is the underdog, but he said, well, this is his chance to win the championship, to say it was all me, and Belichick mm-hmm. was along for the ride. And this may be the one last best chance, you know, his first, but also last best chance to get it done in Tampa. They're up and running. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders right now. That you know, the ability to separate and be able to claim the entire Patriot dynasty by winning in Tampa, he gets to claim the entire Patriot dynasty. That you know, that would be by far the most at stake. I thought that was an interesting angle to things. And so,
well, Jed's a smart guy, so I'm not surprised by that.
You're my man, George.
The interesting thing about Brady is that the timing, I think, adds a multiplier to it. The year after he leaves, and in a year where Bruce Arians almost held them back with his kind of wonky love of Leonard Fournette, and at the bye, Tom Brady says, listen, buddy, this is how it's done. No one is playing better since that week 13 bye than Tom Brady's, our highest graded quarterback since that point. This offense is the most explosive offense since that point. It would punctuate. It wouldn't be the same as winning it next year or 2 years down the road, as incredible as that would be. To do it this year would literally be storybook, and I think would, you know, it'd be almost unassailable at that point for him not to always be either the GOAT or the guy that everyone's chasing. I know that, you know, Mahomes obviously is on pace to be in that conversation, certainly LeBron Jordan type of situation, but the potential for him to skyrocket into an unassailable place is interesting.
Time for our final four with George Sharuri, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this, George. What is your Super Bowl pick right now? Who beats who?
Yesterday on the forecast, I tried to be contrarian because literally everyone went Chiefs-Packers. But I want to see Chiefs-Packers, and I do believe that Mahomes' magic is the favorite in that game, I would say, by 3.5. So Chiefs over Packers in Tampa.
All right. I like that. That'll work. That'll work very well. Be a great-looking Super Bowl. Curtis and I are both excited for the uniforms that will be out there. It'll be a good look.
Yeah.
On the
My contrarian pick, by the way, my contrarian one is Tampa Bay Buffalo. Okay. So just in case.
Just we'll file that away. We'll file that away as a backup plan. Does Eric Bieniemy get a head coaching job?
Yes. Yes, he does. Okay. I think it'll be a little more down to the wire than he probably deserves, but some of the narratives out there about him and, you know, his interviewing and stuff like that are probably going to make it harder for him, but he does this year, yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Urban Meyer is just released from Shad Khan, announcing Urban Meyer as their next coach. So he will take over as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I am proud to name Urban Meyer the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Urban Meyer and Jacksonville, that works or it doesn't work?
I am stunned. Apparently, you know, Shad Khan said this, his process led him to Urban Meyer. I would love to see the process, and I have a ton of respect for Shad Khan. Obviously, has been incredibly successful, very smart guy. I don't understand this at all. He was a college coach who was always a college coach who had a great recruiting program at Ohio State, and that's why they were successful. I just don't get this. He's been in the studio for a while. The grind of being an NFL head coach, this makes no sense to me, really whatsoever. I'm stunned by it. I don't think it works.
Okay. And finally, just one name. We're short on time. Best tequila ever is?
Clase Azul. I drink the Reposado.
Very nice. Very nice. You're going to have to text me that because I have no idea what you just said. So I'm going to have to see it.
Maybe I'll send you one, but you can't drink it until we're together.
Okay. I'm down for that. I like having the bottles up there just looking cool on the bar. Oh, so that I'm totally down for that.
This is the coolest looking bottle, too. That's the perk.
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. George, you're the man. We appreciate it. We encourage everybody. Check out the PFF Forecast. They're a great podcast. He and Eric Eagers. And, of course, read their work at Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. You're the man, George. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, good luck this weekend. Bye, Trent.
Yep, thank you. We need it. We'll take a break, come back, finish things up with the kicker.
The program with Soren Petro.
Certainly I'm not proud of it, but this is Locker Room Talk.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Ben Roethlisberger threw four INTs last week. In the Super Bowl era, how many quarterbacks have thrown at least four INTs in a postseason game and won? The answer, two. Russell Wilson and Joe Ferguson. Those two quarterbacks are 2-34 all time.
Wow. So what's the moral of the story for Patrick Mahomes? Don't throw four picks?
Yes. Try not to throw four picks.
Is that the public service announcement you're making right here, Curtis?
Yes. Would be my plea. You. Don't throw four. Hey, Patrick, just don't throw four picks today, okay?
Important safety tip there. Thank you very much. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we were playing for there. You can get it online, joeskc.com. Send it anywhere in the country. And, of course, get that app. Easiest way for the carryout is with the app. Clickety click, 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 and you are off and running. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, Kansas City's best fries, their incredible onion rings. So many great things. The winter menu, like the chili. Check out the chili. And, of course, my favorite, the Rocket Pig sandwich, my go-to. I love it. Check it out at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue tonight, as a matter of fact. Let's wrap up with the Urban Meyer going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just asked George, will it work? I'll ask both you guys. We'll make this the kicker. Is this going to work in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer?
No. And that's probably equal parts Jacksonville. And equal parts... I'm not convinced Urban Meyer's got the system to win in the National Football League.
When your best quarterback is Alex Smith and his best years have come after he's had the Urban Meyer coached out of you, I don't think that's a great starting point. So I'm with Kay. I'm going to say no, he's not a success.
All right, a couple of things. I think this is a really difficult one. I think it's really interesting. So you're saying he's going to look more Chip Kelly than he is Jimmy Johnson?
That would be where I lean, yes.
Yeah.
Right? We've had, what, three guys that have won national championships in college football go up and win Super Bowls. Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. then Barry Switzer rode his coattails with the Cowboys team, and Pete Carroll, right? Those are the only ones to do both?
Yep.
Those three guys? So is he one of those guys? He hasn't had any of his quarterbacks from Ohio State end up doing anything in the pros.
No.
But that, to me, says that he's got a great system. He took guys that aren't good NFL quarterbacks and made him look great in college. Hmm. It is different to the pros. I actually think he is going to be successful. Because, number one, you know what he might be better at than being a coach? Being a guy to identify good jobs to take. Like, he definitely gets that. Ton of cap room and Trevor Lawrence going in Jacksonville. I'll say it works. I'll go against George Shirey. I'll say it works. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.